And we're back.
We're back.
The world's most popular podcasters, Tom McCaffrey and Danny Palmer, have reunited.
After all these months.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I was traveling a lot. I was out of town for a little while. And what's new?
Did you go to Hawaii?
No, I wish. I went to Chicago. I went to Dallas. I was in the Hamptons, you know, usual.
Look at you, dude. Mr.
And then, And then, have you been following this whole, it's hard to not hear about it. You know, the writer's strike was the first thing. And then now all the actors are striking.
Yeah.
So basically Hollywood is in free fall.
I've been reading like all the New York Times articles about it, dude. Oh, you know what, dude? I have a good quote about this deal. Like, they quoted Barry Diller. You want to hear this little quote?
Sure.
He goes, "You now have really in control tech companies who haven't a care or clue, so to speak, about the entertainment business. It's not a pejorative. It's just reality," he said, referring to Amazon and Apple. "For each of these companies, their minor business, not their major business, is entertainment. And yet, because of their size and influence, their minor interests are paramount in making any decisions about the future."
Yeah, I think it happens slowly. But the problem with that I'm seeing with it is, you see a lot of, you know, Fran Drescher gave this like kind of heartfelt speech that was just very impassioned about, you know, how unfair everything is. But, you know, I feel like almost my entire life, like celebrity and Hollywood culture has just been a very like almost like it's all about like exclusivity and kind of like look at us from the outside and how cool our lives is, you know, because it was like, you know, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. And then it was like all these entertainment shows and then like Cribs. And it was just kind of like, look at our amazing lives and everything's great. And then it's just funny that now they're like, "Hey, well, this is bullshit. Like, no one's paying me any money. I don't have any money." You know, and it's just like, yeah, I don't want to hear it, dude. Like, you guys have just been rubbing it in everyone's face. My whole life has just been about how great your lives are. And it was very like, get out of here. Like, you're not invited. So it's kind of like these people that excluded you from things are now like coming to you for help. It feels very like, it feels kind of like when people's lives fall apart and they turn to Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
Like everyone finally goes back to Jesus when everything's not working out. Like, "Hey, what's up? So,
right.
Help me." It's like, I haven't heard from you in a while. Like, what? Oh, well, I was on my yacht.
Yeah. I thought you guys were above us. Oh, now you're sad.
Right. So it just feels like, I think the optics of it are hard. I think it's hard to get people on your side. And I understand like they are being screwed over because the corporate 100%. Entities are totally, you know, they're, you know, greedy and selfish. And it's just been taken over by corporations who they don't care about quality. They're just like, yeah, make another Fast and Furious movie. It'll make us $400 million. Nothing is about quality anymore or art. So,
yeah, that rich and famous thing, that's probably like the top 1% of actors, right? But like most, I would imagine 99% of actors aren't wealthy to that extent. I've heard that even some showrunners on widely known shows barely make a living wage. So like that disconnect between the super rich and us is like, I feel just like a small piece of it.
Yeah.
Most of it's like normal people, I would imagine.
It's just like a complete reflection of our country where it's basically 1% has everything and then everything else like is just kind of, you know, divided between everyone else. So there's barely any middle class. So I feel like that was always kind of the case in Hollywood. The whole thing was like, it was, you know, you went into it knowing that it was a tough business and that it was very competitive, it was hard to break into. But I guess people think they were going to become the 1%, but I feel like there was more of a, there was more wiggle room in the past. Like, I feel like you could get a medium job. You could get in there and there were like tiers. I feel like the whole appeal of showbiz is just gone. Like, why would anyone want to go into showbiz anymore? It's just like, it's so hard to get into. The gatekeepers won't let you in. You finally get in after spending your whole life, you know, for, you know, not a livable wage. And then when you finally break down the door, you can't make a living. So it's just like, what is the payoff anymore? I just don't see any kind of payoff. You know what I mean? There's literally like, I mean, how many, what, 500 people in Hollywood doing well, and then everyone else just has a day job? I mean, it's just, I feel like you can break in now and still need a day job.
Dude, I was talking to this woman. She was in non-scripted. She was like a producer on Pawn Stars and a bunch of other shows like Cajun Pawn Stars for like a long time. She said the entire unscripted business has just been decimated, that people that were considered producers, they would take the assistant producer's salary and make that the producer's salary and just knocked everybody down like several pegs in the salary structure, so that you're not making as much as you used to and you're being paid way less for the role that you're actually playing. Like, they're just like getting hosed left and right. She's like, it's like decimated. She said non-scripted is decimated.
Is that reality TV or is that what non-scripted is? You know, that's the thing. And I mean, I'm not trying to be like harsh, but I feel like it's like, I think that's the main issue they're running into. So they're trying to paint the big corporations and companies as the villains, which they are, but it's hard in this scenario coming from an industry that has looked like a very cushy industry where people have just kind of, it was all about like glamour and prestige and like, I'm this and you're not that. And, you know, everyone was kind of aspiring, and it's just kind of like, it's hard to garner sympathy now to be like, I can't make a living. And it's just like, I've seen people that I knew through the years, a lot of people who like kind of stopped returning my phone calls now complaining about they can't make a living. And I'm like, well, I don't, it's too bad for you.
Yeah.
No, but it's just kind of like, well, that's too bad. I'm sorry. Good. Maybe you should like get a job.
Yeah, right. Maybe it's time to go back into construction.
So, I mean, the thing is, it's clearly unfair, but I think the whole template of that business was like unfair to begin with. It was kind of like, that's kind of, it was always painted, but it is funny that there's no, I guess, you know, the whole residuals, because that used to be the thing. You could do something and just live on residuals. And then if you were on a show, those shows ran for like 25 episodes a season. Now it's like, if you are lucky enough to get one of these jobs, which they're so hard to get, you might do like 8 episodes in a year. And it's like, that's it for the year. How do you make I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
I was doing the math. I know some people who were like, you know, have been actors for a while. And I was like kind of doing the math of what they're making. I think they're making like $40,000 a year, and they're like in movies and stuff,
dude, which is points back to like, it's great that you and I have a podcast, because I feel like podcasting is just going to become Hollywood. I mean, it already kind of is. Like,
I feel like it kind of, that was
creators
totally, you know? And I think that's what kind of annoyed me when it got kind of usurped by celebrities, because podcasting kind of grew out of people who kind of like, you know, had to kind of like create their own, you know, lane. And then when those started gaining traction, all these other, you know, the more powerful people were like, you know, I should do that. So then it was like, you know, I had a podcast years ago, and it was like, not many people had a podcast. And then all of a sudden, like fucking every celebrity had a podcast. And it was like, so you have a podcast now? I thought like, but I guess this has been happening for a while. It's a rough business, you know what I mean? It must be people that must be really scary. People assume like famous people, if you're famous in that business, that you're just doing great, but I think that that's not really the case a lot.
Oh, you mean even if you're famous, you might fall on hard times?
Yeah, and especially I think in the last 10 years, it's kind of the point where like, even if you're famous and working, I think you're just not making a lot of money, because you know, you got to factor in taxes, and you have like managers and lawyers, so like anything you do, the 50% of it is gone. So like, if you have like a medium career and you're making like $150,000 in a year as an actor or whatever, or a writer, which is great, you know, that's good. You know, that's a pretty good, you know, what is that, like $75,000 at the end of that? It's just kind of like, it's
right.
It's not great, you know? Yeah. And you're on a
highly
show.
Taxed liberal market like New York or LA. Yeah.
Right. And it's one thing if you're making that and you're just kind of like, you know, you're a Joe Schmo. But if you're like famous and then like, you know how many, I think it'd be so terrifying to be famous and have no money. Just be like, I mean, it's, it's bad to have no money just in general, but like to be famous and have no money, because then you have to like, you just go get a job now?
Yeah, you're like, what's his name from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, waiting tables?
What, like Alan Ruck?
Yeah, remember he was waiting tables after Ferris Bueller?
Yeah, I think he said he was, yeah, he said he had some temp job. I saw some interview with him. That must be terrifying.
Right. And then the lack of social prestige and status, and then people, I'm sure, always bring it up. Hey, when you acted in X and Y, what's going on now? You're like, not much.
Yeah. Well, now I'm serving fries.
Dude, and like the podcast being like their own independent, they're like independent economic engines. Like the Girls Gotta Eat podcast. I know Ashley Hasseltine a little bit now. I talked to her at a party once. She was super nice. Like if you watch their Instagram posts, they do that. Their live shows are insane. They have like marching bands come in. They're packing out theaters. They have like jugglers. It's like this whole multimedia production. And it's just like, that's their podcast, like becoming the entertainment industry.
Right. Right. And that was the whole thing. And that's the other thing too. I've been watching, you know, I follow this stuff because, you know, movies and theaters or, you know, theatrical releases of, you know, were really hit by the pandemic. They were already kind of like hurting before the pandemic, but now they're just like, they're really struggling, you know, with streaming and the rise of streaming. It's so hard to get people to go see a movie in a movie theater. So like, you know, unless it's basically like, that's the reason they only make these Marvel and Fast and the Furious movies, because they need to be like cartoons. It needs to be like an amusement park ride now for people to go to the movie.
Right.
So like these big movies, like that movie Air, did you see that? The Air Jordan movie?
Uh-huh.
I thought it was good. I mean,
me too. I like it a lot.
But
it's a cool
story. It was a really good movie. And like, I was reading, they were like, yeah, it's not going to make its money back. It like, it's a bomb. It's a huge bomb. And I'm like, so Ben Affleck and Matt Damon make a movie and they can't get people to go see their fucking movie? Like, what hope would I have of being, you know what I mean? Like of being involved in anything like that? Those guys are failing.
Right. I think Indiana Jones is failing to break even. And that's got Harrison Ford in it.
Right, it's Indiana, like Indiana Jones movies no one's going to see. So like, what, like, are they gonna like take a chance on anyone? Like, how would you even like approach a new star at this point? You know how, remember that was like a thing where they'd be like, oh, this is the new guy, we're gonna put him in, you know, this movie. It's like, I don't think they're doing that shit anymore. They're like, fuck this, we're not like the biggest things, franchises can't make us any money, we're gonna take a risk on some new guy. So it's really interesting because it's all like podcasting and YouTube and TikTok. That's what the young people are. They don't even care about movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The two pillars of entertainment were movie theaters and TV channels, and they're both fucked.
Yeah. I mean, I still go to movies every now and then, but like I was a big movie go to the movies guy. And this is supposed to be like the big, you know, this is like the popular time of year where like movies are like a big deal, you know, the summer movies. And I mean, it takes so much to get me to go see a movie. Like I went to see Indiana Jones and I was like, yeah, I guess I'll see it. And like I saw it. And then afterwards I was talking to my girlfriend. I was like, she was like, what'd you think? I'm like, it was fine. It was fine. It just was like, it was Indiana Jones. I don't like, it's fine.
Yeah.
I never want to see it again. I never, ever will watch it again, which is not how I used to feel about movies in the past. Mission Impossible's out and everyone's like, it's the greatest movie ever made. And like,
oh my God, I can't wait to watch it.
I mean, I guess I'll see it, but I just don't care. Like, I was going to see it over the weekend. I was like, I just don't feel like watching Tom Cruise jump around for 3 hours right now. Do you know what I mean?
Kind of, but those plots are always pretty complex and in depth and make you think, you know, but it's also 2 hours and 45 minutes long.
That's what it was. I looked at I was like, yeah. And then it was like, yeah, oh, it was almost 3 hours. I'm like, I don't want to fucking, you know,
I know, man. What if I have to, I'm gonna have to pee for sure halfway through.
Well, that and like, you know, there's every time I go to the movie theater, there's just people talking and just something always happens where like that I get pissed off. And just the fact that like that big a movie could be out with getting like 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't know, I guess. And I'm like someone who was into that shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if they're losing me, I don't even know what they're going to. I don't. And then that's like not even doing that well. I don't know. You're like younger than me. But do you remember like when we were young and like the summer movies, like would come out and they'd be like, this is the biggest opening of all time. You know, like.
The Batman with George Clooney, everybody was flipping out. I remember sitting in the theater being like, oh my God, it's here. We're watching it. This is so exciting. And it was.
Yeah, like a movie coming out was a huge deal. It was like, because before the, you know, especially before the internet, you would hear about a movie for months. And then you'd be like, yeah, you'd have that moment of like, I can't believe I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it. And then people would be like, you'd see people and they'd be like, I saw it. And you'd be like, oh my God, you saw it? I'm going to see it now. But you know what I mean? Like that was a big deal. Like I talked to so-and-so and they saw it.
Dude, I walked out of Casino. It was too violent. I couldn't take it. When they're just beating Joe Pesci to death in the pit, I'm like, dude, I don't want to watch this. I know I'm changing topics, but.
In the theater?
Yeah, but that was around that time too. I was so excited to watch it, and I was like, this is too violent. I don't want to. It was just too sad.
I don't really remember. You know what? I didn't really like Casino that much.
It goes on for hours.
I thought it was just, it was so close to Goodfellas, and it just wasn't as good as Goodfellas. It was just sort of like mediocre Fellas to me. It was just like, I guess.
So many screaming arguments. I'm like, can these people just break up? Like, I don't want to watch them fight.
Yeah. Joe Pesci. The problem, Joe Pesci was just the exact same character as Goodfellas. So it was just sort of like, I liked it when it came out, but that's another one I never really was. But did you see like the Spider-Man movie that came out?
No, dude, I don't watch Spider-Man. I'm too cool for that now, bro.
But have you have you heard about it? It's like the cartoon Spider-Man. Oh,
isn't it the second one that they did like that, where it's the multiverse or whatever? It's like a mix of animation.
Yeah, it's the second one. And it's animated. So I was listening to a podcast, like a movie podcast, and they were like, this is like literally they were like, this is the greatest movie I've ever seen. You have to. It's like insane how great. And Rotten Tomatoes, it's like one of the reviews literally was like, this is I can't believe this movie exists. It's unbelievable. And I went to see it. And I was just like, yeah, who fucking. Yeah, it's Spider-Man. It's like a cartoon Spider-Man.
Shit, yeah,
I don't. But this time they have like. And I don't understand. I'm sick of this multiverse shit. I don't understand. Like, I understand it, but I don't know what's going on. Like, they'll be like, now they're in another universe and there's another guy, Spider-Man. I'm like, I don't care. Like, so now there's 20 Spider-Man. You know what I mean? Like,
the way you talk is so funny.
But do you know what I mean? I was just like, and I left. And I was like, this is the people that are calling this the greatest thing they've ever seen. I mean, like, I just was like, things have shifted so, and comedies, they don't even make movie comedies anymore.
Right. That Bros movie tanked. They thought that would be like, oh, the gay movie that bridges the gap. Nope. They said it was too gay for straight people and too straight for gay people.
They just hit that sweet spot that was like impossible to.
Sweet spot that nobody wants to watch.
No one. Like they just didn't make it good enough for anyone to be interested. But that's another. I feel like that. I was trying to pinpoint when that ended, when movie comedies ended officially. I think it was This Is the End, which is ironic.
Wow.
It was almost like they knew that it was over.
Right.
2013, and it was like, you know, all those guys that you know who were so hot at the time, like Seth Rogen, James Franco. If you watch that movie now, it's really funny to watch it because it's sort of like you see that school, that class of comedy actors is sort of like not as relevant anymore as they were at that point. You know what I mean? Like you're watching, you're like, James Franco, okay, he's been canceled. Seth Rogen, yeah, he still does stuff, but he's just kind of in serious movies.
He's just making pottery.
Jonah Hill, I mean, I guess he's about to be canceled. Have you heard about him?
No, what did he do?
Something came out. He texted some girl he was dating, and I guess he was mean or something. Because you know how like you just say anything, and it's just, you're done.
Right. Did you watch?
I think, what?
Sorry, did you watch his documentary, Stubbs or Stuts, I think it's called?
I was going to, and I just couldn't get into it. It's like his therapist or something.
Yeah, his psychiatrist. I thought it was really good. It was a lot of like good life lessons.
Really?
Like actually like written down life lessons with like illustrated with diagrams. Like, yeah.
Is it funny?
No, it's not meant to be funny. I mean, I guess there's some funny things that happen in it, but it's not like they're seeking to get laughs.
Do you know? So is it just a documentary about him going to therapy?
Yeah, it's a documentary. He made a documentary about his psychiatrist. His psychiatrist has like Parkinson's, I think. And he's been has this crazy life story or like, you know, just very interesting, complex, rich life. And he wanted to document that and share the words of wisdom and advice that he gave Jonah Hill to the broader world. So it kind of has a great purpose behind it. It's a little self-indulgent, but it's good. It's good.
I think he's going to be going to that guy a few times a week now.
the sessions are growing up.
Well, because so
did he say something wrong to the girl, or was he just
well? Meaner? It was like this was another just indication of like I guess I just came. I mean, I clearly came up in a different time, and like you know, it just sounded like he was dating a girl, and he was like being an asshole. He was like texting her like she's a surfer or something, and it was like I don't like you posting pictures on social media with your bathing suit on, and I don't like you hanging around with dudes that are creep that you are creepy or something. And
I always being possessive.
Yeah, I mean, like I guess it was basically it was just kind of like being possessive and a little demanding in the relationship. But it's like, okay, it seems like I think if you're dating someone like a celebrity like Jonah Hill, I bet you they're kind of loopy and weird about stuff. But I was just like, I guess that's shitty. And then what happened is the next day there was kind of a gut punch, more kind of like not death blow, but this girl who used to be in like a Nickelodeon show said that when she was 16, she went to a party and he was like 24, 25. And like, he like forcibly kissed her and like grabbed her and, you know, and then she like had to kind of like wrestle away from him. So that one was a little rougher,
Jesus.
You know, like, cause it was like, she's 16 and he was in his 20s and she was basically saying that he sexually assaulted her. So that one's not great. But I don't know if it's that you haven't heard about it. I don't know if it's gaining much traction. But
no, you can't do that. That's terrible. I mean, she's a child. 16 is a child.
Yeah. I mean, when you hear 16, if you're like in your 20s or 16 just sounds bad. Like that's like, yeah, that's really young to just be grabbing a chick or just be hanging. I don't know. When you were like 26 at parties, were there 16-year-old girls around?
No, I didn't go to parties while I was in college, and everybody at the party was in college.
If you were in college and there was a 16-year-old girl there, that's like I think at least acceptable because like college,
what?
College, it's like some people are like 18, 19. I could see a girl kind of like tagging along with maybe her
to
friend.
Be there. I thought you meant to like harass.
No, just to be like there. Be at a party, like yeah, it's yeah, like because yeah. You know, you're both like in your teens, so it's like. But if you're like a 25-year-old famous guy at a Hollywood party and there's just like 16-year-old, I mean, it's just like.
I never understand when celebrities do that kind of thing or like when a celebrity gets a DUI. It's like, dude, you have money. You can just get a car service, put $1,000 in your Uber account. And then with like harassing underage girls, it's like, dude, you're a celebrity. You have your pick of the litter, so to speak,
right.
Of all the of age women, not all, but, you know, a large sizable amount that'll be interested in you. Why do
there's
you
no there were no 18 of that? That girl didn't have any 18-year-old friends. Like, it's just there's no 18-year-olds around.
I don't get it.
Like, they're like, ew, 18. Gross. P.U. Yeah, I don't just so I think you just and again, it was just a different time, I guess. And they were just flying high and they could do. I think when you're in that position, it's kind of like what's happening with Hollywood, the whole industry now where you can tell. Everyone's really freaked out. And when I hear the stories, I understand it because it's like that. I know this has been said over and over, but it really is facing an existential crisis, like with AI and everything. It's just like they're going to make some concessions. I think they're going to have to, you know, the other side. But I think people are like wishing that it would go back to how it was for like, you know, 20, 25 years ago. And it's just like it's not going back to that. You know what I mean?
Dude, that's what I keep thinking. It's like, I understand why they went on strike and they needed to do it and they should have done it. However, these studio heads, you know that they're like spending so much time and effort right now exploring the capabilities of AI writing, and they're going to have so much more knowledge and be so much farther down that path when the strike ends than they were before, because now that is what they're left with in the interim, and they don't know how the strike is going to be resolved or when it will be resolved. So, like, I feel like the strike is somewhat, I don't know, what the fuck do I know? But it just, to me, as an outsider who knows nothing, I'm not in Hollywood, it just seems like they're shooting themselves in the foot a little bit by giving the studios all this time to focus exclusively on AI. But yeah, don't listen to me. I'm sure that would make a lot of people angry. I know that they needed a strike, and I support it. It's just like,
I think that they literally had no choice. It was literally I do think that this is going to affect, just, I think a lot of people just aren't going to go into showbiz anymore, because they had this one thing, this thing that they were trying to push through in contracts, where it was like they would hire an extra and then just like, you know, take their likeness that was on, that they got on film, and then just have them sign something that they could use their likeness in perpetuity after that, and just never hire them again. So like, it was basically like, yeah, so just come be an extra for one day. We'll pay you $150, and then like we never need you ever again. So, but it's also, and people are like, this is ridiculous. You know, there's a lot of people who rely on, you know, being an extra. And it's like, you know, if you're an extra, it's like your job. You shouldn't be doing that. That's just not a job,
right? And also, like oh, they're not, the extra isn't getting any residuals from their likeness being used in perpetuity, right?
No, of course not. But yeah, also, it wasn't like extras were like raking it in before. Like, that was really lucrative profession before that, you know, like, and I did extra work like a few times in my life, just in certain scenarios. Like,
are you telling me I'm talking to a real life extra right now?
Dude, I'm shaking. And I did it like years ago. And I mean, I did it like one time because I was trying to get my SAG card, because that was a way to get your SAG card, which is why a lot of people do extra work. It's just kind of like a means to an end. But I remember I did it, but that's what you think it is. But then I remember when I did it, there's so many weirdos. Like, there are these people, and that's their life, is doing extra. Like, that's their job. And they don't see anything. They're just kind of content with being an extra, and it's just kind of like, Jesus, like, this is like, I remember I was like, I don't want to ever be around this ever again. This is a nightmare. These people it's like crazy people. So it's kind of hard to be like, well, I mean, you're I understand, like, you're out of a job as being, you know, being in the background, but, you know, maybe you should go into something else. Maybe you should just take up heroin or something, you know, have some dignity, go OD in a hotel somewhere. Maybe you should just, you know, like, speed up your suicide.
Once again, that's Tom McCaffrey, MCC.
They're like, great, what am I going to do now? I can't be an extra. I guess I'm just going to have to schedule my suicide a few years earlier now. Like, yeah, just get to it. But yeah, so can you still hear me?
Yeah, no, I was just thinking about that. Like, it's like, you got to find purpose in life, right? I feel like if you're placing your eggs in a basket that you can't control, then you're probably going to end up unhappy, you know? And if you're depending on extra work, I don't know what I'm talking about. Just ignore me.
Well, no, I think you're right. I almost feel like they're doing them a favor in a way. I feel like in a way, this is like a beneficial thing for our society. Because remember how our society was very, especially like when I was younger, I feel like, you know, entertainment had such a cachet to it, and there was more of a separation, where it was before we had like any access to it, before Twitter and all that, like, because we used to literally have no access to any of that stuff. It was like you would just kind of watch it from the outside. I think a lot of people were enamored of it because it was clearly presented that way as this, like, you know, glamorous thing to aspire to. But I think now that, you know, glamour and sheen of it has worn off, and now I think it's kind of like, if you were a younger person, I think you'd be like, why would I ever want to be involved in that? Like, they're not making anything I really think is good or quality. It's, you don't make any money. It's a nightmare. You know what I mean? It's completely imploding on itself. Like, it's just like, maybe I'll just go be a doctor or something.
Right. But that's sad. I mean, I think there's always going to be movies and TV series, right? They might be more, they're going to be more geared towards streaming than ABC primetime, but like, it's not going to, entertainment is not going to disappear.
No, it's not. But I think it's clearly been shifting for the last at least 10 years with the whole streaming, with everything pivoting to streaming. And with the, the pandemic was kind of almost the final nail in the coffin of like the movie theater experience, which that's still around. But I feel like people are kind of acting like, I hear a lot of people be like, I just saw Mission Impossible 8, and movies are back. Yeah, we finally did it. It's like, yeah, I don't know about that.
Right.
So I think it's still going to be around. It's just going to be, I think this AI thing is like a lot more ominous a presence than people realize. I think it's sinking in now. But when I watch like these Indiana Jones, like the first 20 minutes of Indiana Jones is basically an AI Harrison Ford because they de-age him. So it's not, they're like, it's him, but they de-age him. It's like, but it's not really him. Like that's what's the next step is just, you don't need him. You have an image of him and you'll just put. So it's like when I'm watching, Tom Cruise is really into doing these movies where he's like, and then this time I drive a motorcycle off a cliff and it's like, but do you really need to do that anymore? With AI,
right.
They can just do that.
But yeah, but I think if the audience knows beforehand that that is how is that, that it's real, that it's going to be more likely to drive them to see it and to enjoy and appreciate it.
You're right. But I think that there's going to get to a point where, because now I think that's where movies are at, where like to get people to movies now, it's basically like, oh, Tom Cruise, like he might die. Because now we're literally like, well, what's he going to do in the next one? Is he going to finally die? All right. Like, I'll see it like that. He always is going to have to up the ante. But that's not what movies should be. You should go see a movie because you want to see the movie because it's good, not because the guy is like almost dying in the movie.
Yeah. It's not like Faces of Death.
Like, you're like, man, he almost died that time. All right, well, maybe next time he'll die. It's just kind of like, that's not why I used to go to movies. I didn't go because I was like, well, I heard he really did it and like he almost died. I was like, it was good. He was good in the movie. I didn't care if it was him. Like, I didn't care if he jumped off of a building,
That wasn't the point. You were following the plot and the character development.
Yeah. Now it's like, no, he really is on the building and he might die. And I don't know how believable. I don't know that he's really doing. I just feel like it's going to get to a point where like I'm not going to be able to discern if it's real or not. They could come out. Like when I saw Indiana Jones, like I knew it wasn't him because he was younger, but I didn't really think about it. It didn't take me out of it. And then the new Spider-Man movie is a cartoon. So what that's the direction they're going. Like,
did you see the Indian movie RRR? On Netflix?
Yeah, is it good? I've heard about it.
It's definitely worth watching. It's crazy, but it's like the animals are all fake. There's like a tiger, but you can tell that it's fake. But it's like also you can suspend the disbelief, for a minute. Because the fake tiger can do shit that a real tiger would never do, and it would be abusing the tiger to do that to the tiger. So like, I don't mind suspending my disbelief on that.
Yeah, and that's the thing too with these corporations and stuff, which. Have completely taken over the industry because it used to be kind of like there was at least a sect of the industry that was still creative and doing movies that like, the people and like, the Weinsteins, they obviously were a nightmare. They're raping everyone, but they were real cinephiles and like new quality. And they, championed a lot of like auteur directors. And it's like, who are the auteur directors now? Like Wes Anderson, but that guy's movies have become unwatchable. That's what movies are. It's like, they're either like so pretentious and unwatchable, or they're just like a cartoon, a cartoon. And then the chair shakes when I'm in the theater. Have you seen that where that's a thing now?
Yeah, I've been to that where they blow air and smells into your face.
That's a movie now. Like that's a ride. That's a fucking,
I'm all wet, dude. This sucks. Oh, wait, dude, before we wrap up, I want to tell you, I was in Austin this past weekend. I opened up for Julio Gallerati, our friend, at the Vulcan.
Shout out, Julio.
Shout out, Julio. Yeah, I did two shows at the Vulcan on Friday. It was fucking awesome, dude. It was really cool. And it was like it was like 104 degrees the entire time I was there, basically.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Is it like, I just keep reading about that.
Super, super hot, man.
Oh, really?
At night it would cool down a little bit. Like we sat on the back patio with the creek and smoked weed. Me and Amy Shanker.
Oh, did you
comic on Saturday night?
Oh, Amy Schumer was there.
Amy Shanker.
Oh, I was like, geez. Wait. You went to hang out at the creek. Huh? Do you know Rebecca?
Yeah, not well, but I know her.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was just in Dallas, and I never, when I go, my sister lives in Dallas, but I never make it to Austin. I'm always like meaning. I used to live in Austin, like,
oh, that's right,
9 years ago, 10 years ago, before everyone moved there. But how was it fun?
It was awesome, man. The early show was fucking lights out, dude. It was really cool.
And where
the,
is
the late
that
show
place?
Was good too. The crowd was a little tougher, but it was great. It's on 36. It's on East 6th Street.
It is okay. Is it near like all that stuff?
Yeah, it's near like the Sunset Strip, Ryan Redband's new club. It's near the Comedy Mothership. I didn't even see the logo of the Mothership. I wanted to go, but I heard it's like you walk in and then you immediately get channeled to one of the two showrooms. So unless you know a comic that's on a show or you're on the show yourself, you're not going to be able to like hang out.
Was it near the Velveeta room? Is that still there?
Yeah, it is still there. Oh, I don't know the exact proximity of all of them, but I think they're all pretty close.
Yeah, that was like that and like Cap City were like the only two places where there's one other place. I don't think that Vulcan, is that what it's called? That wasn't there. Yeah. The Creek in the Cave wasn't there. So it's like
Vulcan's really cool, man.
Yeah.
We better wrap, dude. What are your fucking handles, kid?
At Tom McCaffrey 722. I have an album coming out soon. It's going to be on August 11th. It's called The Killing Jokes.
Dude, and yes.
It's going to be songs and a stand-up, and then it's going to be on. It's like 10. I have like 10 songs on there, like funny. They're supposed to be like jokey rap songs.
Fuck yeah. And come on to Black Cat LAS this Friday. Tom McCaffrey is performing. 9 o'clock, 172 Rivington, NYC. I'm Danny Falk, cool. NYC at Instagram. Peace, y'all.
Peace. All right, good to see
you. Take care, pal. You too. Bye.
All right, I'll talk to you. I'll see you soon.
All right, hug.